Of tefillin today. Okay, first we'll learn a little tefillin in Chassidus and Machshava, and then Mirtz Hashem at 12 o'clock, we'll go later with the sugyas of tefillin. I think today we'll talk about some of the halacha l'moshe Mesinai, black boxes, black straps, things clear in the psukim that we saw last week. Okay, but I want to learn. There's a 4-page piece here. We're going to learn the first 2 pages. Definitely don't have time for all 4 pages. Especially with the late start. Hold on 1 second. Just want to quiet that WhatsApp making noise in the background. It's from the Sefer HaLekach VeHaLibuv, which is Rav Avraham Shor, the son of Rav Gedaliah Shor. This is an old volume from Tafshin Samach Aleph. You can see on the side of the Sefer. So that's 19 years ago. And in Parshas Bo, which of course is the first place where the Torah discusses the mitzvah of tefillin at the end of the Parsha, so he lets us into the inner world of tefillin. Okay, so let's try to understand some of the secrets of tefillin. Okay, b'sof ha-parsha k'siv ha-parshios shel kadesh v'haya ki yiviyacha. Right, again, we know that there really are 4 parshios of the tefillin, twice referenced at the end of Parshas Bo, as well as twice in Chumash Devar. So at the end of Parsha, we have the sections of tefillin, of Kadesh and Vahaya Kiyaviyacha, 2 of the 4 sections of Tefillin. Sheksuvim behem mitzvahs Tefillin, umashma mehapsukim shenitztavu oz kvar b'mitzvahs Tefillin. So it's amazing. It's telling us that it sounds like if you're introducing Tefillin on the way out of Mitzrayim, so that means that apparently we had the mitzvah of Tefillin already as we were leaving Mitzrayim. Now the obvious question is, well, did we have all 4 parshios of Tefillin? Meaning the sections of the Torah that are in Chumash Devarim are not going to happen for quite some time. So the question simply is, what did the tefillin look like when we left Mitzrayim? Did Hashem give us an advanced copy of Shema and Vahaya? Or did we have tefillin with 2 parshios? It's a fascinating question to think about. So he says, the psukim are mashma that we had the mitzvah of tefillin. Ukumo shemashma midivrei atosos rid b'menachos, shehikshe halo b'mishna sof perek gimel d'menachos, mevuar da'arba parshios ma'akav zo. Again, we saw that from the Mishnah and Menachos, we saw that what? That the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh are not ma'akiv each other, but tefillin requires all 4 parshios. Right? The tefillin, the parshios of the tefillin, having all 4 sections of the tefillin, seem to be ma'akev one another. They seem to be absolutely necessary for the tefillin to function. So how on earth did they put on tefillin at the time they were leaving Mitzrayim if they didn't have all 4 parshios? So the Tosfos Rid in Menachos discusses this question. And he writes in his second answer, V'kosav sham b'teiretz habez, he writes in his second explanation, it must be, ki nitin lehem oz kol hadalit parshios la'anicham b'soch ha'tfilin. It must be that they had all 4 parshios already when they were leaving Mitzrayim. And what's perhaps a proof that this has to be so? Well, if you remember at the end of Parshas Bo, how are the tefillin referred to? What do we call the tefillin? The very last pasuk in Parshas Bo refers to them as totafos b'neinecha. Now it happens to be yesterday's Daf Yomi was the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Nun Ches, that totafos, we learned that a totefes might be what? Some type of headpiece, some type of frontlet that was worn, some type of, a stylish headband that women used to wear back in the day, and that's why the Gemara discusses whether or not a woman can wear a totefes on Shabbos. But totafos, the other pshat in totafos, of course, that we learned from the Gemara already, which Rashi brings, is that tot and fot are 2 African languages, Kasvi and Afriki, 2 languages, right, where tot means 2 and fot means 2. So totafos means 4. So the fact that what says the Tosfos Rid, the fact that already at the end of Parshas, Bo, it's being referred to as what? As totafos, which the very word means 4 parshios, it must be that we had all 4 parshios already as we were leaving Mitzrayim. Okay, now again, there's a lot to work out here. It's a fascinating topic, in terms of plays into the Gemara and Bava Basra. How exactly was the Torah written? Was the Torah written as it happened? Did they have advanced copies of certain things? Right? Again, it comes up very strongly by the mitzvah of Tefillin, because the mitzvah of Tefillin has parshios from Chumash Devarim, and Chumash Devarim hasn't happened yet. So again, historically, it's a fascinating shaila. But the point that Rav Avram Shor is trying to make is right here. And that is what? If this is so, on a certain level, really the starting point of all mitzvos for the Jewish people is the mitzvah of Tefillin. V'adavar hazeh be'etzem mora al godel chashivos ha-mitzvah shel Tefillin. However, when we became Klal Yisrael, HaChodesh hazeh lachem maybe was our collective, you know, mitzvah that we were given as a people, as the first mitzvah. Like Rashi already says at the beginning of Chumash, right? HaChodesh hazeh lachem is the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people. So the birth of the nation maybe is through HaChodesh hazeh lachem, our ownership over time, our ability to arrange the calendar. But as individuals, on a certain level, the first mitzvah that every Jew is sort of given on the way out of Mitzrayim, right? A mitzvah that is going to really, you know, attach us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we're about to see, is the mitzvah of Tefillin. So again, Rav Shor writes, Hadavar hazeh be'etzem mora al godel chashivos ha-mitzvah shel Tefillin, shenitein ke-mitzvah harishona l'bnei Yisrael, ba'od sheshar ha-mitzvos hanohagos ledoros lo nitnu ad mara u'matan Torah. The other mitzvahs would only come a bit later. Some mitzvahs we got at mara, obviously the bulk of the mitzvahs we got by Kabbalah Satorah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, on the way out of Mitzrayim, I want you to understand there's a mitzvah called Tefillin. Okay, so let's try to understand, again, a little bit what happens when a Jew wears Tefillin, how transformative it is. Again, we're not just learning the halachos because we want to be able to put on the Tefillin better, but we also want to understand what an awesome, awesome gift it is to wear Tefillin. Hachsam Sofer Kosov Remez Al Tevas Bereishis. The Chsam Sofer writes an amazing thing on the word Bereishis, Shehu Taryag Shin. The Gematria of Bereishis is 913. It says the Chsam Sofer, Bereishis could be understood as Taryag, 613, plus Shin. Now, what is the significance of the letter Shin? Uperish Hakavana, Alpi Divrei Bal Haturim Shekasav Al Hadichsiv. Someone mentioned the other day the story with the Vilna Gaon, how the Vilna Gaon was once summoned to court, and he walked in dressed in his talis and tefillin as he was. He wore talis and tefillin all day, like we learned last week, right? The sugya of wearing tefillin all day, really me'ikar adin. One would hope, or one would think, that we should be wearing tefillin all day. Vilna Gaon came into court. He lowered his talis off of his head, the talis which we said partially covers the tefillin shel rosh. He lowered his talis off of his head. His tefillin shel rosh was seen by the non-Jewish judge, and he said, "This man is a holy man. He's committed no crimes. Get him out of here. I'm going blind just looking at the tefillin shel rosh that he's wearing on his head." And that's based on the Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos says, I believe it's on Daf Vav, that the nations of the world, when they see the tefillin shel rosh, like this pasuk says, "V'ro kol amei aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha," when they see the name of God upon you, the tefillin is the name of Hashem. You have a shin on both sides of the tefillin shel rosh. Right? You have a dalid on, let's say, the back of the tefillin shel rosh. Although how you make the knot on the back, there's different ways to do it. Right? You have the yud on the knot of the tefillin shel yad. You have another shin on your hand when you wrap the so. Throughout the various parts of the tefillin, you're spelling out shin, dalet, and yud. And therefore, when the nations of the world see the tefillin on you, and Chazal explained, here he quotes the Gemara in Sota, it's also in Brachos, dekoy al tefillin sheberosh, that the nations are afraid specifically of tefillin shel rosh, which they can see, right? Tefillin shel yad is hidden, it's covered over. Tefillin shel rosh, which is worn in a way that can be seen, when the nations of the world see the name of God upon you, they'll be afraid of you, which is a reference to the tefillin shel rosh. So the Vilna Gaon, when he revealed his tefillin shel rosh, he scared them away, or they chased them out. They didn't want to deal with him. But the Baal HaTurim explains very beautifully. The Baal HaTurim explains that what? Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, like the Pasuk says in Devarim Chav Ches, that the name of Hashem will be upon you. The Baal HaTurim says, Kedarko Bakodesh, Shem Hashem Nikra, Shem Hashem Nikra, Shem starts with a shin, Hashem starts with a yud, Nikra starts with a nun, is Rashi Tevos shin. Now, the tefillin shel rosh have a shin, a three-pronged shin, a regular shin on one side, a four-pronged shin on the other side, but there's something about the letter shin which is deeply connected to Tfilin Shel Rosh. And again, the idea of shin is that Shem Hashem Nikra. It's bringing the name of Hashem upon you. Hamora al Hashin Shehu Halacha Lemosha Misinai. That's what Hey Lamed Lamed Mem stands for. She Anira Bahabayas Shel Tfilin Shel Rosh. That appears on the bias of the Tfilin Shel Rosh, the letter shin. It's very awe-inspiring. When the nations of the world see the shin, right? When they see that you've brought Hashem upon you by wearing the tefillin, so it's very intense. So says the Baal HaTurim, Shem Hashem Nikra is Rashi Tevos Shin. Says the Chassam Sofer, the first word of the Torah Bereishis is Taryag, 613, plus Shin, plus another 300, 913. What's the idea? What's the idea that Taryag Shin, what does that mean? I know. Ki kol ha-mitzvos kulan heim l'tachlis hazeh, she'a nikra shem Hashem ala adam. The purpose, again, it's not just the first mitzvah on the way out of Mitzrayim, but it's hinted to in the first word of the Torah. The very first word of the Torah, Bereishis, is hinting to the fact that the tachlis of kol taryag mitzvos, the purpose of all of the mitzvos, is shin. And shin, of course, again, on the simple level, means the letter shin that's worn on the tefillin shel rosh. There's actually a shin written or made into your tefillin shel rosh. But the idea of shin, says the Chassam Sofer, a step deeper, based on the Baal HaTurim, is that Shem Hashem Nikra. I want to be the type of person when I walk down the street, whether I'm wearing tefillin or not, chavra, I want to be the type of person that people look at me and they see me as a godly person. That they see me as a person who's carrying the name of Hashem upon him. I had a strange incident at the supermarket yesterday. I had two anti-Semitic incidents over the weekend, believe it or not. Very, very strange. Each time was, it's weighing heavily upon me. I have to make a cheshbon and nefesh understand why these two things happened to me. Each one, specifically the first one, I felt there was an element of Chil Hashem. And like it says in Pirkei Avos, Echad Shogeg v'Echad Meizid b'Chil Hashem, right, Yehuda? Whether you make Chil Hashem on purpose, whether it's your fault or not, if you're responsible for somehow causing a lack of Hashem's honor in the world, even if it's totally not your fault, you're totally innocent, but you're the recipient of Chil Hashem. I don't know. Whatever. I take these things to heart very, very seriously. Yesterday, I stopped off at the supermarket. I was wearing a mask and gloves, as is in accordance with the law of the land. Anyway, so I'm putting my groceries in my car, and this guy comes over to me, and he says, you know, I'm a vet. I was hoping maybe you could. I'm an army veteran. I hope you could maybe you could help me out. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I only have my credit card on me. You know, if I had a few dollars, like if I had cash, I would be happy to give you. And then I mean, the guy was like a little off. He says to me, he's like, I didn't ask you for your money. He's like, now I know that Jesus is the Messiah, is the true Messiah, because Jesus said, love thy neighbor like thyself. So I was like, he was like getting up in my face. I was like, okay, I just like got him. I had my wife and kids in the car. I jumped in the car and I was like, okay, you know, take care. I hope you have everything you need or whatever, you know, God bless. Right? You know, first of all, you know, that verse from Yashka happens to be a verse in the Old Testament. And Yashka happens to be Jewish. Unfortunately, he lost his way, although the Arizal says eventually even Yeshu will have a tikkun. It was like this weird incident, right? Now, obviously, he must have identified me as a Jew, and I don't know if he was trying to do a little, missionary work. I'm not sure what exactly he wanted from me. And the guy was a little bit of a strange fellow, right? But the fact that he was able to identify me as a Jew, on the one hand, is a very positive thing, right? That wherever we go, you know, people can look at us and say, oh, that's a Jewish person, whether it's a yarmulke or whether it's the beard on my face or my Jewish appearance, whatever it was that inspired him to come over, you know, Shem Hashem Nikra. Again, unfortunately, you know, he was a little antagonistic in the way he approached me, right? But the goal is that we should be able to walk through the world and people look at us with awe and respect because they see that we're a godly nation. And again, that's obviously true if I'm wearing the tefillin, but even when I'm not wearing the tefillin. When I'm not wearing tefillin, the person looks at a Jew and says, whoa, this Jew is radiating a godliness, a holiness, and they see the good in the Jewish people, and again, the more we're true to ourselves, the more the world can recognize that about us. So that's really the tachlis of Kol HaTorah Kula. And that's what the Chassam Sofer is saying. The first word of the Torah, Bereishis, Taryag Shin. Hainu ki kol ha-mitzvos kulan heim letachlis hazeh she'nikra shem Hashem ala Adam. V'zehu mataras kol b'riyas Adam. That's the purpose of our whole life, Chavra. She'yavu letachlis zeh she'nikra alav shem Hashem. That is the goal of my life, that I want to be a person who's radiating the name of Hashem. V'shamati me'adoni avi mori v'rabi zatzal. And I heard from my father, Rav Gedalia Shor. How'd you like that picture, Chavra? No, that picture of a young Rav Gedalia Shor is a gavaldic picture. So I heard from my father, Zatzal, Rav Gedalia Shor, Sha'amar ki kol mitzvah yeshba inyan miyuchad, Sha'aleha morek kol ha-mitzvah. As we've spoken about in the past, every mitzvah has its main message, its main lesson, and all the other 613 mitzvahs have a little bit of that idea. If you remember, we mentioned in the past how matzah represents zrizos. Every mitzvah is supposed to be done by zrizos. But matzah is the paradigm of zrizos. And the example that Rav Gedalia Shor always gave is Parah Aduma. What is Parah Aduma? Parah Aduma is the ultimate, the paradigm of chok, of a mitzvah that we can't fully understand rationally. An illogical mitzvah, a mitzvah that has an element of chok, something mysterious to it. Every mitzvah we don't understand. Every mitzvah has a layer of depth that we don't understand. But Parah Aduma, its hallmark is chok, and matzah is zrizos. What is tefillin? What is the ultimate expression of tefillin? And again, it's supposed to impact all 613 mitzvos. That's why when we say the l'shem yichud, right? People sometimes say alashon v'taryag mitzvos hatluyin ba, that I want to perform this mitzvah, right? Like he writes over here, with the taryag mitzvos hatluyos ba, with the other 613 mitzvos that are connected to its central idea. So matzah is primarily the mitzvah of zrizos. And Parah Aduma is primarily the mitzvah of chok. And tefillin, says Rav Avram Shor, based on this idea from Rav Gedalia Shor, based on the way that the Chassam Sofer is explaining the Baal HaTurim, based on the fact that when we left Mitzrayim and Parshas Bo, Hashem began with tefillin, the essence of the mitzvah of tefillin is what? Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Hu HaMitzias HaMeyuchad Shel Tefillin. The essence of the mitzvah of tefillin is this idea. That what? That Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. And of course, that's supposed to happen with all the mitzvos. And that's what the Chassam Sofer is telling us, is the secret of the word Bereishis. Taryag, the whole Torah, is Shin. Is about Shem Hashem Nikra. Rashi Tevos Shin. Okay, Chavra, you're with me? Gevaldik Torah so far, no? New appreciation for your tefillin. That's why we have to start our day with tefillin. Right? Maybe that's part of the answer. When the Rambam told us last week that if you don't wear tefillin all day, at least wear it for davening. Well, I was supposed to start my day with davening. I was supposed to start my day with tefillin. Because tefillin is sort of this fundamental, this foundation of Kol HaTorah Kula. So I want to begin my life, and I want to begin my day with tefillin. Which is why when a bar mitzvah boy, and by the way, this piece that we're learning here from the Halekach Valibah of Tafshin Samach Aleph was shared at a bar mitzvah. He's writing, these are Torahs that I don't know if this was his drasha on Shabbos, but Rav Avram Shor gave this over. I mean, he speaks at one point very openly to the bar mitzvah boy about the schus of becoming a bar mitzvah and what an honor it is to become a bar mitzvah and to wear the tefillin. So, you know, we have to appreciate that when a bar mitzvah boy begins his real life as a Jew, right, the thing that he begins, the mitzvah that represents becoming a bar mitzvah is tefillin. Because tefillin, again, is this foundational mitzvah in the life of a Jew. Okay, the Yesh Lahosif ki inyanat taryag mitzvos heim neged haramachei varim ushasagidin. So, Chavra, let's go further, because we learned last week, if you remember, how could you ever forget? It's a Gemara you can never forget. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Memtes of Elisha Baal Kanafayim, of Elisha who wore tefillin with Mesiras Nefesh, right? And the Roman officer said, "What's in your hand?" And he opened his hand and he said, "It's Kanfei Yonah, it's the wings of a dove." And his tefillin miraculously were transformed into Kanfei Yonah. But if you remember, the reason that Gemara came up, because of the Kanfei Yonah connection to the Mishnah in Shabbos, but the Gemara introduced that story with Elisha Baal Kanafayim having a guf naki. If you want to wear tefillin, you have to have a clean body like Elisha Bal Kanafayim. And then I told the story of how he got the nickname Bal Kanafayim. But tefillin requires guf naki. Even though tefillin is worn here and here, but tefillin obviously is connected from the fact that my whole body has to be in a proper state to wear tefillin. Apparently, tefillin is supposed to permeate my entire being. Not just my mind and my arm, but tefillin is supposed to to spiritually wash over my entire being. So we know the 613 mitzvahs correspond to the 248 limbs, and the 365 sinews, the 365 gidin, v'chol mitzvah matakin eivr ogid. And yes, every mitzvah has its specific body part. Uvekiyim kol ha-mitzvos nishava koma shlema. And therefore, when I keep all of the mitzvos, I become a koma shlema. My full build, my entire body is going to be proper. Va'oz kishayesh tikun kol ha-gidin v'evarim yachol yos shenikra lecha. So obviously I need to do all 613 mitzvos till my body is entirely spiritually whole. V'zeh ha-kavana b'derech sofer. But with this we understand more fully the chasam sofer. Yes, Elliot?
Advice.
Eitzos, correct. Eitin in Aramaic is eitzos. Mitzvos are advice. Advice to achieve the goal of dveikus ba'Hashem. To cling to Hashem, I need to follow these 613 pieces of advice, as the Zohar refers to the mitzvos. V'hainu shem itin b'chdei sheyichol shem Hashem al adam. The purpose of the 613 mitzvos, 613 pieces of advice. It's not advice, they're chiyuvim, they're obligations. But it's called advice in the sense that they're guiding me towards one overarching goal, which normally we describe when we explain this passage in the Zohar as what? Uvo tidvak. It's for the goal of dveikus b'Hashem. But we're learning, chaver, this morning we're learning a different way to say dveikus in Hashem. Nu chaim sement, how are we saying dveikus b'Hashem this morning? Shem Hashem nikra. That the name of God should be called upon you. That's another way of dveikus b'Hashem. That I become so godly that I'm radiating kvod shemayim. V'yisraba al yadu kvod shemayim. That all of the nations of the world should be able to what? Should be able to look at me, and they should be able to see that my whole being is radiating the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hold on one second, I have to figure out how to share the next picture with you. Give me just a second, Chavra. There we go. As we turn the page, and I'm guessing most of you don't own this sefer. It's a hard sefer to find. That's the same page. Let's try that again. What's going on here? Okay, can you see it all right? It's there? It's there, Seth? It's really there? Okay, good. So, let's go deeper with what the Chasam Sofer is telling us. Shem Hashem Nikra, right? The tachlis of my whole life. Again, each mitzvah is illuminating a different body part, but there's something about tefillin that it takes over the whole body. Again, going back to the word Bereshis. Bereshis tchilas habriya haya sheyisra b'kvod Hashem b'tachtonim. The purpose of all of creation is that Hashem's presence should be found amongst the tachtonim in this world. Haynu al yedei taryag mitzvos shegorem sheyesh shin. Shin again is Rashi Tevos. Shem Hashem Nikra. Shin Yud Nun. Shem Hashem, obviously spelled Yud Kei Vav Kei. Shem Hashem Nikra. V'lechei Nikra Moshe Rabbeinu b'shem zeh shel Moshe Daika. Moshe Rabbeinu had 10 names. Why did the name Moshe stick of all of his names? Why don't we call him Tuvia? Why do we call him Tov? Why do we call him the many other names that we find in Chazal for Moshe Rabbeinu? Right, and many, many wondrous, interesting names. Yekusiel. Why do we call Moshe Yekusiel? I think was one of the names of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the answer is, Kedisa b'chasam sofer, Shemore she'ikr shemo huma. The Chasam Sofer says, how did Moshe describe himself? In his awesome humility, Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'nachnu ma. He said about himself and Aaron, we are ma. What does ma mean? Right? Nachnu ma. What are we? In other words, it was the most humble statement ever said in the history of the world. David HaMelech said, I'm a worm. Avram Avinu said, I'm dirt. I'm dust and ashes. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't even know what to compare myself to. What am I? I can't even call myself dirt. I can't even call myself a worm. V'nachnu ma. The essence of Moshe Rabbeinu's name is Mem and Hey. Mem and Hey. What am I? That was the humility of Moshe. But of course, if you take the letter Shin, and you put the Shin in between Ma, even though Ma, even though what am I, even though I'm so humble that I don't feel like I'm anything, but my inner essence is Shin. My inner drive, my mission statement, is Shin. Shem Hashem Nikra. Shin Yud Nun. V'rak yesh besocho os Shin. V'os Shin Mora Shemila Tachlis Hazeh. That Moshe Rabbeinu, despite his awesome humility, still became so great because even though I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing, I feel very humbled and subdued in the presence of Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu went out and he conquered the world. Netzach shebenetzach. Moshe Rabbeinu's midah is netzach. Moshe went out and he conquered the world by what? By radiating godliness. Moshe Rabbeinu was so shiny he had to wear a mask over his face. Because Shem Hashem Nikra. Because he was shining. And chever, now we maybe understand what it means. That tefillin tzrichin guf naki. Tefillin require a clean body. What does that mean? The Shiboli Aleket, one of the Rishonim, says, Ki akavana gufnaki milichluch shalaveira. Gufnaki is not only talking about not passing gas and not falling asleep, like the Gemara told us, but to actually what? To be free of sin. From head to toe, my body should be a spiritual capsule of godliness. V'hainu ki atfilin asher tchilasan hu, Hashem Hashem nikra alecha, require a guf shalim. I want my body to be, again, complete in the Taryag mitzvahs from head to toe. I want to be the real deal. I want to be a complete structure of godliness. So now we go back to Mitzrayim one more time. We're coming out of Mitzrayim. We're people who have been very much broken in body and spirit for 210 years. And Hashem said, I'm going to make you whole again. I'm going to give you a mitzvah that's going to transform you mamish from head to toe. Yes, you'll wear it on your head, you'll wear it on your arm, but it requires a whole body to be transformed, to be radiating kedusha. This is why Parshas Bochever, the first introduction to the mitzvah of tefillin, ki atfilin heim hashleimus tzior shel Yehudi. Tefillin complete the entire mold, the entire image of a Jew. Of course, you still need to do each mitzvah, which corresponds to the different body parts. Aval tefillin hu hashleimus hakedusha sheyesh beguf Yehudi sheyanikra alav shem Hashem. V'kasher shamati me'adoni avi moiri v'rabi zatzal, like I heard from my father, an answer to a halachic question. Chaver, listen to this. It's beautiful. What's the question we could ask about tefillin? And those of us who've been in the shir for a while now, remember, once upon a time, we learned a sugya called Osek B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah. And the classic question of Osek B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, that some of the Rishonim ask, and he says, my father answered the question of the Rishonim. Right? On those Rishonim will hold, Osek B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, Afilu Kishayesh Efshirus L'kayim Shneim. What's the question? How does Osek B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah work? Osek b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. How does it work? Right? There are some Rishonim who hold that if I'm osek in mitzvah number one, then I'm exempt from mitzvah number two, even if I could do mitzvah number two. So what would that mean? That means, if you take it to the extreme, well, I'm wearing my kruspidin right now, I'm wearing tzitzis right now, so then I don't have to do anything else. I'm potter from everything else because I'm wearing tzitzis. Right? Okay, so we have to figure out ways that that's not true. So the same question is asked by the Rishonim about tefillin, right? Especially in the good old days when a person wore tefillin all the time. So as long as I'm wearing tefillin all day, I don't have to do anything else. Osei b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. Even if I'm able to mekayim a second mitzvah, afilu kashiyesh efsharus lakayim shneyem. Imkayim, kol Yehudi ha-potter mikol ha-mitzvos. So I put on my tefillin, and I'm potter for mitzvos. Ki arei osei kubim mitzvos tefillin, asheru itur behem kol hayom. I'm wearing tefillin all day. Again, in the classic sense, the way it was ideally meant to be done. So says Rav Gedalia Shor, beautiful answer. Why does Oseh b'mitzvah patur in a mitzvah not exempt a person if he's wearing tefillin? Why does he not get exempted from other things? Because wearing tefillin, on the one hand, yes, it's a mitzvah. But it's also the uniform. It's the uniform of a Jew, right? When a player steps out on the court, again, the havdil, but the mashal is found, like we saw in the Mishnah Berurah, when a player steps out on the court, and the Sefer HaChinuch, when a player steps out on the court, right, wearing the jersey is just, it's a prerequisite for getting in the game, right? It's not, I'm also wearing a jersey. Wearing tefillin, right, well, on the one hand, it's a rule. If you want to play in the game, you got to wear your team's jersey, right? It's a rule. It's a prerequisite of stepping out onto the court or onto the field, right? But it's also part and parcel of the player. It's the mark. It's the sign of the player. So it says of Gedaliah Shor, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Rav Shor explained that when a Jew wears his jersey, when he wears his tefillin, Harei Yehudi Hamu'uta B'Tefillin, Hu HaYehudi Shenetzav HaMitzvos. That is a Jew who's dressed for the game. A Jew wearing tefillin is the type of Jew who is commanded in all of the mitzvos. And with this, again, we understand why tefillin has to be that first mitzvah. On the way out of Mitzrayim, it's Hashem giving us our team jersey. And we understand what the Chassam Sofer is telling us now. The Chassam Sofer is telling us that what? That Taryag Shin is what the word Bereishis is hinting to. Because, again, with creation, Hashem gave you a jersey. And the jersey is called tefillin. And when you wear that jersey, you're allowed to step out onto the court, so to speak. But until you put on that jersey, you're not even in the game. So again, the idea of guf naki is not just, a halachic detail of tefillin. But when a person wears tefillin, it transforms his whole body. It's his team jersey that allows him, as it were, to then go ahead and do all the other mitzvos. Yes, the image is a little foreign to us because we don't wear tefillin all day. But the idea is so critical that when you put on your tefillin in the morning, you're becoming the player that Hashem wants you to be. Okay, Yehuda, you're jumping out of your seat. Go.
I was thinking to go in a similar direction, but a little bit different than what Rabbi Gedaliah Shor said.
Let's hear.
By saying that since the tefillin is Taryag Shin, since it is like Kenegad Kol HaMitzvos, that you're never actually doing a separate mitzvah when you do another mitzvah when you're wearing tefillin. You're always just doing a part of the
right.
mitzvah.
Part of the mitzvah. Tefillin. Okay. It's a good way to say it.
Any mitzvah.
Right.
You
right.
can say that about any mitzvah while you're wearing tefillin. You can't say that about any mitzvah stam because we're talking about how...
Well, a little bit you can say about every mitzvah stam because, again, we have this idea of Taryag Mitzvos, you know, Tluyospa. I mean, that every mitzvah is connected to every other mitzvah. But the greatest, in a certain sense, expression of that, right, is the tefillin. Because the tefillin, again, the tefillin are the ultimate expression of the mission statement, which is Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, that you should be a walking billboard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Matzinu, yeah, you want to say something else?
Yeah, just one more sentence.
Yeah.
This is a different thought, but in Reish Milin.
Yeah.
It talks about how from Aleph to Tuf is like Hashem's Seder Hashtal Shalas, how he like brings down his Kedusha into the world into like physicality.
Right.
And so we kind of exist in the Tuf because that's the end of the Hashem coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking that Taryag Shin is telling us that the Taryag, the ways towards Vekus, all those Eitzos,
beautiful,
are like a path to Shin, to then
beautiful.
Like reverse the Seder.
Reverse the right. Beautiful, beautiful. If we dwell, so to speak, within the world of Tuf, the avoda is lift up to Shin, and from there to Reish, and then to Kuf. Beautiful, beautiful vart. Beautiful vart. Even though you're in the world of Tuf, so to speak, the bottom of the Aleph base, the goal is to climb back up to a Kadosh Baruch all the way back to the Aleph, and Tefillin leads the way. That's beautiful. It's a beautiful vart. Matzinu shinuyim bein mitzvahs Tefillin shel yad l'shel rosh. Hein be'ikr tzurasan, hein be'ofen kiyum ha-mitzvah. Chevra, we know that the tefillin shel rosh and shel yad are actually made differently, as we'll talk a little bit more today in halacha, right? And they're also different in the way that they're described in the Torah. Tefillin shel yad ha-mitzvah hu b'kshira. The tefillin shel yad is described and defined in the Torah as being what? As being tied to you, ukshartem. Right? It's the tying of the tefillin. Right, that's why the point that you make the bracha over lasiasan, they make the bracha right before you tie the tefillin, before you tie it. The fact that we wrap it around our arm is really all extra credit. But it's the kshira, it's the tying, it's the knotting of the tefillin to the arm that is the primary expression of tefillin shel yad. And tefillin shel rosh are placed upon us. We don't tie them really, but rather tefillin shel rosh ein maisa kshira b'hanachasa raksiv v'hayu. It should be upon you. As the Rashbam explains, ki inyan tefillin shel rosh hu tachshit. Tefillin shel rosh is worn like an ornamentation. Again, the totefes that is described in yesterday's Daf Yomi, a beautiful frontlet, or the comparison we made in Halacha to the tzitz, right? If a Kohen Gadol who wears the tzitz, which has the name of Hashem once on it, has to maintain a proper mindfulness, so tefillin, which have so many askaros, so many mentions of Hashem's name, all the more so they require proper mindfulness. But again, it's an ornamentation. It's a piece of jewelry. It's a beautiful piece of jewelry. Od matzinu ki tefillin shel rosh heim dalet parashios b'dalet batim. Like we began to learn last week, we know that the tefillin shel rosh have little lines on it because the four sections of the Torah are written on four individual smaller pieces of parchment and placed into four smaller openings and compartments in the tefillin shel rosh. Tefillin shel yad is one long piece of parchment with all four parshios, and it's rolled together and placed in a single opening in the tefillin shel yad. Okay, it's all in bayis echad. V'od tzvichin lahavin atam. So again, Rosh is giving examples of how tefillin shel rosh and shel yad are different. But one of the key differences in terms of how we wear them is the following. Od tzvichin lahavin atam she'anachas tefillin shel yad kod min lahanachas tefillin shel rosh. We also know that the order in which we put on the tefillin shel yad precedes tefillin shel rosh, whereas the Gemara in Menachos says in Daf Lamed Vav, kol zman chiyu beinecha yihyu shtayim. You can't wear tefillin shel rosh without tefillin shel yad. Again, just to be clear, if a person only owned a tefillin shel rosh, you could wear tefillin shel rosh without tefillin shel yad. That's the opening Mishnah in Perak HaTcheles in Menachos, that the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh are not ma'akev each other. But under normal circumstances, if you're wearing both, it's always shel yad on first, then shel rosh, take off shel rosh, and then take off shel yad. As long as you have both upon you, shel yad has to lead the way. And the question is why? So says Rav Avram Shor, a very, very beautiful and deep yesod. The nature of the four sections of shel rosh and the single section shel yad. Why is it that way? In Machshava, what's that about? One simple explanation, just very quickly, and then we'll see how he explains it. A classic explanation is that when it comes to our thinking, every Jew thinks differently. No two Jews think alike. We all have different emotions. We all have different ways of thinking. We all have our own ideas. In terms of yad, in terms of action, in terms of practice, yes, I know there's different opinions in halacha also, how we really, you know, we were talking on Shabbos at our table. We were learning a little bit about opening bottles on Shabbos and opening cans on Shabbos, right? And how to do it and can you do it and different opinions, right? So even in yad, even in maisa, even in action, there are different opinions of how we operate, right? But essentially, in terms of action, every Jew is supposed to have the same actions. We all keep Shabbos. We all shake a lulav, right? We do the mitzvot, so to speak. Everyone does the same mitzvot. What I think about, what you think about when you do the mitzvah, which kavana you like to think about when you perform the mitzvah, everyone thinks differently. But in terms of holding a lulav, it all looks the same. Esrog, lulav, you'll say, a lefty holds it differently, a righty holds it differently, a svardi holds it differently. Okay, fine, good. There's all sorts of little differences. But essentially, shel yad, it's one section, because everyone does it the same. The way that I think, and the way that Shoval thinks, the way that Yoni thinks, the way that Yosef and Ephraim and Noam, the way that each of us think is different. Okay? So that's the four sections of the mind versus the unity of the arm, so to speak. Okay, a very nice kavana. But says Rav Shor, let's go a step deeper. Again, these are Rav Avram Shor Shlita, the son of our Rebbe. Yadua sheba adam yesh hei chushim. We know that a person has five senses. Umuvuar bekadmonim ki adalid batim shebetfilin shel rosh heim neged dalid chushim sheim berosho shel adam. It's really, I love these types of Torahs. It's just, these are the types of Torahs that make you know that Torah is emistic, right? The five senses. four of the five senses appear on the head, or within the structure of the head. I have my ears, the chush hashmia. I have my eyes, the chush, the sense of seeing, ri'ya. I have my nose, I have reyach, and I have my mouth, which is what? Ti'ima, or dibor, speech, shebapeh. What about the shel yad? What's the fifth of the five senses? In addition to hearing, seeing, smelling, and tasting, right? The sense of touch. Of course, that takes place with my arm, with my fingers, right? The tefillin shel yad. So the tefillin shel rosh, with four sections, four compartments, four parshios written on four pieces of cloth, correspond to the four chushim that manifest themselves in the head. The chush hamishush, which means the sense of touch, of course, corresponds to the tefillin shel yad. V'nei avodas ha'odim hu levatel koach haguf. A person's job in this world is to control his five senses. Right? Some of you definitely remember from the past, we spoke about how the five fingers correspond to the five senses, and this is why we take our hand when we say Shema, and that the name of the five fingers, right, is Gematria Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. For those who want to go over the Gematria, we'll go over it later. Right, the names of the five fingers plus Yad, plus 14 for Yad, right, is Gematria 1118, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Okay? But the goal of a Jew is to want to control my senses, which is why I use my hand highlighting the five senses when I accept upon myself to be a good Jew. But Chara, now think about it from the perspective of Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. What should we put on first? What should we put on first? And why? Hainu avodas ha'adam hu levatol koach haguf. The avod of a person is to what? Is to negate his body, is to put his neshama over his body. Hainu likach kochas haguf u'leshavdim levodas ha'boris barach, to take my bodily urges and my body parts, and to use them to serve Hashem. Kemosha amrim b'lashem yichud, ki tefillin shel yad heim neged halev. I wear the tefillin shel yad opposite the heart. L'shabid b'zeh taivos machshavos libenu, to control the emotions, the desires of the heart. V'skashos l'kadosh baruch hu, and to attach myself to Hashem. Kemavuar b'svarim akadoshim, ki lachein ba'ofen hanachas tefillin. Hu basias kesher. And therefore I start by what? Before I do anything, you can't wear the jewelry of the head, the tachshit, the totefes, the totafos. You can't wear that jewelry, that ornament that sits, that the Kohen Gadol wears, that you wear a headpiece which is even higher on a certain level than the tzitzit of the Kohen Gadol. You can't wear that until you do what? Until you first bind yourself to Hashem. Kshira, kesher shel kayama. A permanent bond. You knot yourself into a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A real kesher. A knot. Tie yourself to Hashem. Hiskashus laKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Sfarim say, that the Hanachas Tefillin, Hu Ba'asiyas Kesher, is making a knot. Is tying yourselves to Hashem. Hainu laKasher kochosea shel aguf, letzamsim kochos aguf, v'litein osam b'ma'asar. To tie my body to Hashem. Shel zeh more inyan haKesher. That's what a kesher is. A kesher means a knot. A kesher shel kayama. Not the type of knot that you could take out on Shabbos. Not a bow. A knot. A knot means a kesher shel kayama. A knot that stays in its place very firmly and takes effort to remove. V'lechein, hu biyad ha-moira al koach ha-asiyah shebaguf. L'shabe zeh la-Hashem yisbarach u'levatlo al-kashro. So therefore, it's my hand which represents my actions, right? My arms, which literally can actually hold my whole body, right? I can hold with my hands. The goal is to hold myself back, to restrain my body, or to direct my body in the right way, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So of course Tefillin Shel Yad comes first. Of course I have to first tie myself to Hashem. And then I can become worthy of wearing the tachshit, of wearing the ornamentation, wearing the jewelry, but also becoming the jewelry. I literally become the jewelry. Like we've been learning, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, you become the jewelry. Of course, by the way, this is why I don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. We don't wear tefillin on Shabbos because on Shabbos, what? The Shabbos is how I tie myself to Hashem. On Shabbos, if I understand what it means to be in Shabbos, I'm swimming in Hashem on Shabbos. I'm totally, my whole being is enveloped by Hashem on Shabbos. Right? Even more so than the sukkah we said in the past. So with this concludes the Sfas Emes, and with this we conclude the piece. Says the Sfas Emes in Parshas Naso, from the year Tof Resh Mem Zayin, 1897. With tefillin, 1897, yeah. No, 87, I'm sorry, 1887. Tfasema said in the year 1887 that Tfilin Shel Yad hi bitul haguf, that's what Tfilin Shel Yad is supposed to be, a negating of my physical body, Shal Yedeza Yochol Lizgalos Koach HaNeshama. By negating my body, then I'm able to what? Then I'm able to reveal my neshama. So now you understand the pnimius of a halacha. Tfilin Shel Yad, until I tie myself to Hashem, until I tie my body and my taivos to Hashem, only then can I open up what? Only then can I open up my mind. Only then can I open up my head. And through that, I can open up my more spiritual... Again, this is the most, obviously, physical sense, touch. Then I can open up my ears, my eyes. Smell is a very lofty thing. The koach hadibur, the peh, which again is what makes us human, which elevates us above animals. V'lachein ka'kedama le'tfilin shel rosh, tzrichin kodem la'niach tfilin shel yad. Shekol avodasahu, levatel kochos haguf, hama'akvim es ha'neshama lezgalos. Try to tie down your body to allow your neshama to reveal itself. V'oz yecholim la'niach tfilin shel rosh. He goes on and he explains in the next two pages, which we're not going to do right now. I'm happy to share it and send it to anyone who wants. He goes on to explain really what happens when we unlock, so to speak, the kochos of the head. He talks about how the seven openings of the face, two ears, two eyes, two nostrils, and the mouth correspond to the seven branches of the menorah, like the Zera Kodesh, the Rapshitzer brings in Parshas Ba'aloscha, and how menorah is gematria tzura. Menorah is gematria tzura because the menorah is the fullness of a person. And again, but I first have to have restraint. If I can't control my body, I'm not ready to unlock, so to speak, the higher levels of the head. Again, the head of a human being is different than the head of an animal. An animal has its head in line with its body. A human being wears his head. His head is on top. And there's a reason Hashem built us that way. But again, these are some of the some of the secrets of Tfilin, Shel Yad and Shel Rosh. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah of Tfilin in its entirety upon leaving Mitzrayim. It's the Bereishis, it's the Taryag Shin of a Jew. And Amir Tzashem, we should continue to learn about Tfilin and to wear them in such a way that even when we're not wearing Tfilin, the nations of the world will look at us and they will see the name of Hashem upon us.